What if everything you've been taught about happiness is backwards? We spend our lives chasing promotions, perfect relationships, dream vacations, convinced that the next achievement will finally deliver lasting contentment. Yet lottery winners return to baseline happiness within a year, and that corner office you fought for loses its shine by Tuesday. The uncomfortable truth? We're spectacularly bad at predicting what will make us happy, and even worse at learning from our mistakes. This ancient insight, now backed by modern neuroscience, forms the foundation of a genuinely radical approach to well-being, one that doesn't ask you to change your circumstances, but to transform your relationship with whatever circumstances arise. When Tibetan wisdom meets Silicon Valley pragmatism, something unexpected emerges. A practical path to happiness that doesn't depend on anything going your way. Research reveals a startling pattern. Lottery winners and accident victims return to baseline happiness within 12 months, yet we chase external conditions as if they determine well-being, creating endless cycles of pursuit and disappointment. This isn't poor planning, it's misunderstanding how happiness works. We're remarkably unable to learn from prediction failures. Homeowners trapped by mortgages, professors who discover tenure denial isn't devastating, dieters who find weight loss doesn't transform their lives, we minimize these experiences and chase the next external fix. Meanwhile, studies show we're happiest when fully absorbed in the present moment, regardless of circumstances. What prevents this awareness? An internal monologue that never stops, constantly measuring, assessing, judging. It's like having a sports announcer describing every moment while you're trying to live it. Notice when you actually feel happy. During intense activity, creative flow, or intimate connection, the commentary stops. We're not thinking about the experience, we're having it. Since we taught ourselves the habit of chasing thoughts, we can develop the alternative of being present through practice. Creating mental space allows thoughts and emotions to appear without defining our entire state, like watching clouds pass through a vast sky rather than becoming lost in the storm. Meditation trains attention to stay where you place it. Like a puppy wandering from its mat, your mind darts everywhere. The practice gives it a job. Choose an object, breath, sounds, sensations, and return attention there whenever it wanders. This isn't suppression, it's interruption, creating gaps between stimulus and response. Distractions can become supports. When a student complained about construction noise, his Tibetan teacher suggested using sound as meditation's focus. Physical sensations work similarly. Make discomfort your focus, rather than seeing it as failure. Rest attention lightly on your chosen object and gently return when distracted. We rob ourselves of joy through involuntary comparison. Your salary feels adequate until you learn a colleague earns more. Your home feels comfortable until you visit someone's renovation. This constant evaluation prevents appreciating what's present. Cultivate genuine appreciation. Affirm, "I am happy with who I am and what I have," during meditation. Appreciate specific qualities. Celebrate circumstances without comparing to others' misfortunes. Most meditators stumble by evaluating their practice, rating sessions as good or bad. This habit is what meditation aims to free us from. While you may begin with goals like stress reduction, authentic meditation transcends objectives, offering contentment independent of outcomes. Benefits increase when you abandon attachment to attaining them. Morning meditation can transform your day, but awareness often vanishes once you step outside. Counter this with mindful mini breaks, moments when you stop, drop your thoughts, and simply be present. When anxiety strikes, use these anchors. Remember the word meditation to trigger the habit. Create mental space anywhere, even a bathroom stall. Recall the peace from a calm session. Cultivate gratitude by focusing on something you appreciate, or use anxiety itself as meditation's object by identifying how it manifests in your body. To overcome forgetting, establish triggers, common events that prompt you to pause, like waiting for transportation, meeting endings, or specific sounds. Nearly everyone struggles with consistency. The key lies in cultivating both enthusiasm and commitment. Enthusiasm means developing a positive attitude toward presence by contemplating its benefits. For consistency, start with an achievable commitment, even just a few minutes daily, and gradually build up. Though many assume meditation is boring, it actually serves as boredom's antidote. When "this is boring" arises, playfully investigate its source. Is sitting quietly inherently awful, or is the thought itself creating anxiousness? This reveals how suffering comes from mental commentary rather than circumstances. Set your alarm 5 minutes earlier to create practice space without overwhelming your schedule. Harvard's 75-year study reached a simple conclusion. Happiness is love. Warm relationships throughout life have the greatest positive impact on satisfaction. People with warm connections lived longer, earned more, and found greater fulfillment. This isn't about abstract notions. It's about basic human kindness. We intellectually understand interdependence, but rarely live accordingly. Consider choosing a wine bottle. This seemingly personal choice depends on countless interconnected factors: agricultural innovations, transportation systems, cultural preferences, economic conditions. Our decisions reflect conditioning rather than unique individuality. Trace the people involved in bringing food to your table: farmers, truck drivers, architects, builders. This reveals the vast, invisible web supporting daily life. Building on gratitude practice, extend appreciation to everyday objects and the people behind them. Thank your refrigerator for preserving food, plants for producing oxygen. We make quick judgments about people within milliseconds. Rather than struggling against judging, learn to relax your attitude about judgments. By cultivating warm-heartedness and recognizing interconnectedness, you remain open and flexible, able to receive new data without taking judgments too seriously. The key to understanding others' needs is realizing we're all fundamentally similar, different permutations of human existence, all wanting happiness and avoiding suffering. True attentiveness transforms daily interactions into powerful supports for warm-heartedness, increasing life satisfaction while benefiting everyone you meet. To avoid self-protective behaviors that undermine interconnected happiness, practice 4 joyful supports: generosity, patience, consistency, and commitment. Generosity means freely giving to enhance others' well-being, not just money, but time, attention, encouragement, emotional availability, and respect. It acknowledges that your well-being is intimately tied to mine. Patience comes from recognizing that anger never solves problems and usually makes things worse. These qualities require consistent application. Just as mastering any skill demands regular practice, developing kindness requires enthusiastic consistency, doing something enjoyable that benefits both yourself and others. Commitment to self-improvement means honestly recognizing your faults rather than becoming defensive. Practice exchanging yourself for others. Imagine someone suffering greatly and feel as vividly as possible how it would be if that suffering were yours. Consider how you'd want people to treat you. Expand this to strangers, people who annoy you, and ultimately those who have harmed you. While some dismiss this as merely feeling good without action, every meaningful action begins with a thought. A single thought of kindness can create a tsunami of positive results. Radical happiness emerges when you stop chasing thoughts like dogs and instead become like lions. When stones are thrown, a dog chases them endlessly. A lion looks directly at the thrower. This shift represents meditation's deepest level, turning attention from thoughts to the awareness that knows thoughts. Basic happiness, present moment awareness, and interconnected happiness, consideration for others, work together like a bird's two wings. Both are needed to overcome subtle attachments, fondness for meditation's peace, and attachment to recognition for helping others. Rather than seeing thoughts as enemies, use them as supports. Observe thoughts without engaging them, like noticing beach activities without participating. When you turn attention toward a thought without clinging, it dissolves. Instead of focusing on thoughts themselves, look toward awareness itself. Through practice, you become familiar with awareness, the nature of mind that remains unaltered by whatever appears. like sky unharmed by storms, or a washcloth fundamentally clean despite surface dirt, the knowing quality of mind doesn't change regardless of what arises. This stainless quality is something you can gain confidence in, a fundamental part of you never touched by experience. Being radically happy isn't reaching some nirvanic realm removed from life. It's engaging enthusiastically with your mind, heart, and world by experiencing present-moment warm-hearted awareness. Like a snow globe settling when left untouched, your mind naturally becomes clear when you don't disturb it. Your happiness doesn't depend on circumstances aligning perfectly. It depends on recognizing the awareness that's been here all along.